If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 2, verses 8 through 11. To worship a king is what I'm going to preach on today. And I tell you what, I'm looking forward to this message. When you turn to the scripture, please stand if you're able as I read from God's Word. Matthew 2, 8 through 11. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child, and when you have found him, report to me, so that I too may come and worship him." After hearing the king, they went their way, and the star, which they had seen in the east, went on before them until it came and stood over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. After coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell to the ground and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we are so truly grateful for the birth of Jesus. And we will always be forever grateful each and every day that he came to be a servant, a king, became a servant, and gave his life for us that we would not have to face an eternity in hell if we would just believe and accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and ask for forgiveness of our sins. And Lord, today, as I preach this message, let every word come from you through your Holy Spirit. And God, let your Holy Spirit, I pray, move boldly and mightily this morning. And we ask it all in Jesus' holy name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, while you're being seated, I'm going to just kind of fill in a little gap here before I get this message rolling. Now, you have to understand that King Herod was the one who gave the order to the Magi, or what we would call the wise men. And you ought to know from reading the Bible, King Herod was a very evil man. He was a tyrant. He was wicked. He had a dark and a black heart. And now, King Herod had basically told the Magi, "I want you to go and I want you to basically find out where he is, because I too want to go and worship him myself." Now, with that being said, now let's look at the truth of what the king's words were really saying, what he really meant. Herod wanted to find out where Jesus was at because he felt threatened. Herod was a king, and Herod heard that another king had been born, and he felt in his heart, he felt scared. He thought that somebody was going to take his throne, his place of rulership. So he wanted to kill Jesus. Now, I also want you to know this as well. Jesus was about 2 years old at this time. So Herod's basic his plan, he wanted to go kill Jesus, And we know that that never happened. But Herod's orders were given because of the news he had received. He wanted to kill Jesus. He used the wise men. He was using them to make them think that he wanted to acknowledge Jesus. Now, as Herod had done, we know that the devil was in control of Herod's life. And I want to point this out to each and every person here today. The devil will try to deceive us in our own Christian life. As you and as the wise men, the Magi, were going to seek Jesus, as you and I as Christian people seek the Lord on a daily basis, the devil is going to deceitfully come to you and I, and the devil is going to fill us with so many lies because he doesn't want us to seek after the Lord every day. He doesn't want us to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. So, as the wise men journeyed on, they followed the star. Now, I want you to know this as well. They followed the star. It's typically kind of, if you think about it, some people think of it as an overnight deal. They saw the star and overnight there, and just many hours of the night there. No, it was many months that the wise men followed the star. Now, we don't know exactly to the exact date how many months it was really, but could you just imagine following a star? You're seeking Jesus. You want to see this king who was born. And let's say you're one of the wise men. You're a magi. And you're on your way. You've been following this star. And I often wonder in my own mind, did these guys ever get to some point and think, man, when is this ever going to get over with? Is this journey, are we ever going to find the Christ child? But the star guided them, and here's what I want to point out to you today. As we journey in our life with Christ, we too at times feel like we want to give up. Maybe the journey gets a little bit too hard or too difficult. Maybe we don't know the way to go. Maybe we don't know where to turn for answers. And as God had given the star to guide them to Jesus, here's what I want to comfort you with today. God has given us the Holy Spirit as our guide and as our comfort. So as we walk, as we journey along in our lives, we are to never give up hope. Because the day is coming for you and I as Christian people that we will get to heaven. That day is coming. So as the wise men were journeying to find Jesus, they, I'm sure, were going on their journey. I'm sure they were filled with bewilderment. They were filled with joy and excitement. And I want you to know today that that's exactly what the Lord is wanting you and I as Christian people to have. The Lord wants us to be filled with joy each and every day of our life. And we should always keep the focus of Christmas season within our hearts all year round. Now, every year I always watch a Christmas carol or Scrooge, however you want to call it. I don't know why it's been one of my favorite movies, and probably because my grandmother started this tradition with me years ago. And Janine would say on Christmas Eve, well, I guess you're going to stay up tonight and watch Christmas Carol. Yeah, I sure am. Well, she had already gone to bed, and I watched it a few days early, a couple weeks early. But every time I watch Christmas Carol, and you know how it goes through. Now, Ebenezer Scrooge, though, he was given into the three spirits that turned his life around, and I have a problem with that part of the story. But it goes to show that they say that old Ebenezer, they say, was always good to the word, the promise that he made. He stuck to his promises. Whatever he said he was going to do, that's exactly what he did. Well, when the Spirit of the Lord dealt with you and I, when we were Scrooges, we'll just say that, when you and I were Scrooges and we were encountered by the Holy Spirit, and we accepted Jesus into our heart and our life, our lives were turned completely around, and we made a promise. We made a promise to the Lord that we would be faithful to Him, that we would serve Him, that we would read His Word, and that we would also disciple those and tell others about Christ. And just as Ebenezer had made this promise, I think you and I need to take a good, long, hard look at our life. We made a promise. Are we living up to that promise today? Can you look at your heart? Don't look at your neighbor, and don't judge your neighbor by how they're living. I want each and every one of us to look at our heart this morning and say, am I keeping up with the promise that I made God? The wise men made a promise that they were going to seek out this baby. And no matter what they faced over the months of following the star, they finally got to their journey's end and their destination but they kept their promise. Are we keeping our promise to God today? If we're not, then right now this morning is the time that we need to turn from whatever is distracting us from our Christian life and our walk with the Lord. We need to turn away from it, and we need to thrust ourselves forward into God, and we need to take a hold of the Lord, and we need to say, Father, I made a promise, and I fell by the wayside, but I'm here to stand up, and I'm ready to take this journey. See, the Lord gives us instruction every day how to live this life, and we need to heed His voice, and we need to listen, and we need to walk the walk. If we're going to talk the talk, we need to walk the walk. Now, when the wise men had arrived at Bethlehem, as I said, this was 2 years after Jesus' birth. And Jesus was not laid in a manger, in a stable. Jesus was in a house. That's where they were residing. The wise men did not understand Jesus' divine nature because, see, the king they were going to see, he was the Son of God. He was named Emmanuel, meaning God with us. So what I mean by that, the wise men didn't understand really everything, I don't think, about the Lord. They've been told, but they didn't really know until they got there. Now, you and I, that's different for us. When we come to know Christ as our Lord and Savior, and when we seek Him, we know Him. We know who He is. We know that He is Emmanuel. And we know that Jesus always abides with us. And we talked in Sunday school this morning about worry. Well, if we know that God is with us, if we know that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, then we should never have anything to worry about in life, should we? Now, my world was turned upside down for the last week. I told him I've never been a worry ward. I haven't really. But man, I'll tell you what, when your wife is getting on a plane and she's afraid to fly, and well, she actually enjoyed her flight. She tell me. But to know that, I mean, I let myself get to a place where I was really disturbed in my spirit and let it get into my brain. And boy, my whole world was just flopped upside down. But we need to understand that we don't serve just any king. We serve the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. We serve the Son of God. And we need to really think long and hard about who He is and what He has done for us and the price He has paid, the freedom He has given each and every one of us. I was watching a program the other night, I watched a video on Facebook that came up the other day, and it was really amazing. And they were talking about the cat of nine tails that they whipped Jesus with. And these men were describing at the very end of it the chunks of bone and pieces of glass and metal and rock. They said as they would hit Jesus with that, it would wrap around His body, and then the strongest man would do the whipping, and he would pull the whip off and said it would literally tear Jesus' flesh and muscle, literally tear Him down to His physical bone, and the blood flowed heavily. And that was the beating that He took for you and I. And when the crown of thorns was put upon His head, now, I'll tell you this, when I thought about a crown of thorns, I just thought of this little thin deal of thorns that they pushed down. No, these men showed what a crown of thorns was, and it looked like a big helmet. And the thorns were at least 6 to 8 inches long, and they shoved that down on Jesus' head and literally tore the flesh off. And there's on His journey to Calvary, He was so weak, he couldn't even walk anymore to carry the cross. And they had to have somebody else come along and carry his cross. And then they nailed him to that cross. And so today, as we're thinking about this wonderful birth, I mean, this ought to motivate us to live for him. He lived for us and he died for us and he gave us every reason to be joyful. He gave us every reason to be happy. He gave us every reason to press on each and every day of this life that we live, just as these wise men pressed on in their journey. Now, here's what I like. When they came to the house, the Bible says they worshiped him because that was the appropriate thing to do. Now, you all know when a baby is born and you get to see a baby, what does everybody do? They almost fight over the baby, who's going to get to hold him and who's going to get to hold him the longest. I've been in situations like that, and I've heard two grandmas say, "Well, I get to hold him, and I'm going to hold him a long time." The other grandma says, "Well, you're going to have to give him up because I'm going to hold him as well." Everybody just goes nuts over a baby, and they just worship that little life. And now, when I was born, I was told that the doctor said to my parents, "Mr. and Mrs. Cooper, you have the finest treasure right here that was given to you." And my dad says, "Yep. We're going to go put him in a trunk and find a deserted island and we're going to bury him." No, I'm just kidding. But when baby Jesus was born, they worshiped him. And we too should worship him. We should never let ourselves get idle in life that we put other things in place of worship. I want to tell you what happens when you worship. Now, when you worship, a lot of people think that's singing only. That's not. When you worship, that's you giving service to God. That is reading and studying your Bible. It's also singing. Worship is also when you pray to God. And worship is also certain ways that we serve one another as Christian people and serve God. We must always worship Him and serve God first because He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and we should do it on a daily basis, and it should be done out of love and admonition for Him. Now, if He loved us that much, don't you think we ought to love Him even greater? Now we can't love like God loves us because God's perfect. You and I on the face of this earth, I've said this multiple times, we're not perfect, but we ought to strive to love Him with all the love we've got within our hearts, and we should do it every single day. When we worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and we do it out of love, you're lifting praise up to God. And I saw this too. Now, lifting your hands, ain't nothing wrong with that. You can lift your hands in church. I ain't trying to make nobody Pentecostal or apostolic or holy roller. Don't go out of here saying, "Boy, the preacher is trying to make us holy rollers today." I ain't trying to do that. But what I'm telling you, when you're in your home, when you lift your arms to the Lord and you're praising God, you're basically reaching up your hands to the Lord, and you're reaching out to Him. And I believe that when we reach out to God in praise, He lowers Himself down and He takes a hold of each and every one of His children. And He holds us so dear and close, and He moves within our life. He gives us a power that we don't possess within us. And that enables us to get through each and every day of life and to handle the problems that come our way. So, with that being said, don't worry anymore. Easier said than done. I think Laura said that this morning. Yeah. Easier said than done. But with every little effort that we make and every little push through that we go after, we, I believe, will achieve a place where our faith is increased and we won't have any room to worry. If you fill yourself daily with God, and you, I mean, really, read Philippians chapter 4 and memorize it and learn how to think. Learn how to occupy your mind and your heart according to the Word of God. When you do that, you're not going to have any time to worry at all. Now, yesterday, a very hard day. I mean, getting two phone calls that two people in the family have died. I just went through this a couple months ago with a cousin and an uncle. Now, this time it's, you know, it's different, little, it's my daughter-in-law's mother, but still, that's, to us, that's family. But yesterday, and this is something, I don't know why I want to point this out, but here, I saw something neat. I was just really having a rough kind of day. I was coming back from Evansville, and I came the back way through Kentucky, and I stopped in Henderson, Kentucky, and I remember there was a Shoney's restaurant. Man, I was starving, and I pulled in at this Shoney's restaurant, ate. When I come back out and left, I pull up to a stoplight. Now, get this. I'm looking across the road, across the street at this stoplight, and there's nothing but dead trees all the way around. I mean, there ain't one leaf on these trees. And there's two willow trees. Now, you and I both, if you know anything about trees, willow trees pretty much die off pretty quick and they lose all their leaves. Cold as all get out. These two willow, weeping willows, they were green as could be and full. Now, I know God wanted me to see that because no matter what's going on in our life, no matter what kind of barrenness is all around us, with Jesus alive inside of us, it gives us a chance to flourish and show the world the light of His love. Now, I've never seen two weeping willows be that green in December in cold weather. And they've had snow and ice and all that kind of stuff through Evansville and Kentucky. So to see that, I just really feel like that was a reminder from the Lord. Now, the wise men brought gifts. They brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh. I want to ask you today, what gifts are you bringing to the Lord? Now, the gifts I'm talking about is what we do, witnessing, serving, praying, reading. I've already probably said a lot of this. Giving our hearts to Him, trusting Him by faith, and taking up our cross and following Him daily. Attending church. Are we using our talents for His glory? I want to ask you something. Are you giving God your best? I think we ought to. I think we should look aside from ourselves, our own desires and stuff, and we ought to look to give God our very best. I mean, look what God gave us. God gave us His ultimate best. He gave us His Son. And in return, we should give everything back to Him. Now, I want to tell you a little bit about the meaning of these gifts. Gold. Gold was a symbolizing kingship. It was symbolizing Jesus as King. Do you have a heart of gold? And what I mean by that is if the Lord is alive inside of your heart, if He's your Lord and Savior, and He's taken up residence, you've got a heart of gold. And you ought to give your heart up to Him in service. You ought to make Him King of your life. Now, frankincense. Now, this represented divinity and priesthood. It's Jesus' divine nature and His priestly role. Because Jesus is King of kings and Lord of lords. One day, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that He is Lord. And we need to look at the divine nature of Christ. And that's how we need to be moved in our life. Is He is divine. He is worthy of our praise. And we should stop at nothing to get close to our Savior. And then last thing, myrrh. Now the myrrh was a foreshadowing of his suffering and death. That's what. Now, have you ever thought about those three gifts being that? That's exactly what they were. Who would have thought? Now, when I was young and a Christian, and I read that story, and they brought him frankincense and myrrh and gold, I never thought no more about it. But man, when I got into ministry and I started preaching and I really started to study this stuff, man, it really just comes to life at you. But myrrh was a spice that they used in embalmings back in those days. They did. They used myrrh when they prepared the bodies for burial and the embalming process. So basically, the gifts they were giving, everything that had been spoken about his birth and what was going to happen, they were showing that in the gifts that they gave. As believers, we should approach Christ every day with humility, love, adoration, and again, give him our very best. We should give him the best of our lives and our heart, because we need to recognize Jesus Christ as King, Priest, and Redeemer. Now, Christmas morning comes around. Hey, there's going to be people getting up Christmas morning and opening up gifts. I want to put this challenge out to you. Now, some of you may go and celebrate with your families a little earlier. I want to put this challenge out to you right now. Before you open a present from under the tree, I want you to thank God for the greatest gift that you've ever received, and that's Jesus. And I want to challenge you not to be in a hurry to open your gifts, but to offer honor, glory, and praise to our Redeemer, our God, our King. Now, I'm so glad that the wise men didn't go back and tell Herod anything, really. And God provided a way of escape for Joseph and Mary and baby Jesus at 2 years old. He provided them a new route and a new place to go. So, when you celebrate Christmas, it's not about the presents under your tree, but it's about the one who gave his life, who came to be born of a virgin, and who lived and loved you unconditionally, and then died and gave his life for you on the cross. I can't think of a better Christmas present than that. Now, the other day I told Janine, I said, don't get me anything for Christmas. Don't. And she kind of looked at me a little weird. And I said, well, you know, I got everything I need. I got Jesus. He's the greatest gift. And he's with me. And I never get... You ever watch a kid open a present and they'll play with that thing for a few months or a few weeks, and then all of a sudden it gets kind of cast by the wayside and they don't ever touch that toy again? Don't do that with Jesus. I see too many Christian people do that. They receive Christ, and man, they're excited for a while, and then they lay that gift aside, and they never think another thing about it. And Jesus is the one who is wanting you to stick close to Him, because He's a friend that sticks closer than any brother. But I told her, don't get me no gifts. I've got Jesus. I've got a wonderful family. I've got a wonderful church family. And when we get up Christmas morning, I want her and I just to sit by the Christmas tree, open our Bibles, and get in prayer, and get into the Word, and sing to God, and praise Jesus for what He did. That would be the greatest gift right there, to worship on Christmas morning. And we need to remember to do it each and every day of our lives.